follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
CBS News Brief. Vice President Harris has outlined her economic plans.
Under my plan, more than 100 million Americans will get a tax cut, and we will do this by restoring two tax cuts designed to help middle class and working Americans.
60-year-old Susan Lawrence has been found guilty of killing her 35-year-old neighbor in Florida. The victim's mother spoke to reporters.
I'd like to thank all of the friends, family, media, community, the nation who stood beside us and walked this journey with us.
A prisoner serving life for murder has been captured at a motel in Kannapolis, North Carolina, and a woman who helped him arrested.
It's our understanding that the relationship began several months ago. I will tell you that that relationship was by phone mostly, and it was developed after he became incarcerated.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A little more than 3 million people are working in Wisconsin. That's a new record. The Department of Workforce Development says the statewide jobless rate for July was 3%. That's a little higher than 2.9 in June, but still lower than the national rate of 4.3%. Seniors on Medicare can expect to save big on 10 drugs after the Biden administration negotiated prices down. Senator Tammy Baldwin says they include heart meds that up until now could cost up to $6,000 a year.
Now Wisconsin seniors will save nearly $300 per month at the pharmacy counter with the new price of the drug slashed by 56%.
Out-of-pocket savings nationwide could reach $1.5 billion. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Best Warrior competition recently finished up in Jericho, Vermont, and our soldier representing Wisconsin placed fourth. Specialist Tevin Kenton of Wausau placed fourth among enlisted competitors from New York, Virginia, Tennessee, Missouri, Montana, and Hawaii. This grueling event tests a soldier's professionalism under challenging conditions and proficiency in soldier tasks. It measures a soldier's physical and mental ability and resilience. Specialist Tevin Kenton is a member of the 105th Cavalry Regiment in Wausau. The Kellner Cornfest kicks off today with bounce houses at Kellner Club from 4 until dark. Live music starts at 7 with the Now Band and plays until 11. On Saturday, the flea market runs from 9 to 4, the Wild West Parade starts at 11, and there'll be live music from 7 to 11 with Blame It on Waylon. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers host Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a three-game home series tonight against the Guardians. At 72-49, Cleveland has the best record in baseball. The Brewers now with a nine-game lead ahead of the Reds and Redbirds, thanks to splitting the series with the Dodgers and a 6-4 win yesterday over L.A. Manager Pat Murphy.
Hopefully they grow from it. The young guys realize, wow, if I just do this over and over again, keep that discipline, that's competing. You know, and you got a chance to win tonight.
Christian Yelich having season-ending back surgery today in Milwaukee, wishing his team well last night on social media.
It's a great group of guys, and they're playing extremely well, and happy to watch them and see what they're going to do, and hopefully they can win the division.
NFL, Packers and Broncos, joint practice session today in Denver. Broncos head coach Sean Payton.
With Green Bay, we've kind of mapped out, I've had a chance to visit with Matt a couple times now. We've got the practice plans laid out, and we'll be ready to go.
At Sean Payton with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, few showers around tonight and a low in the mid-60s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, maybe a pop-up shower and highs in the mid-70s. Mostly sunny with a high in the low 80s Sunday. A couple of nice days Monday and Tuesday, mostly sunny and highs near 80. Currently at 75 degrees.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Hope you're having a good afternoon out there, everybody. Have your host, James. I am joined by our good friend, Michael Comer. Michael, good to have you with us.
Good to be back.
Thanks for being here today, man. We are going to have some fun, get people ready for the weekend, and we are going to cover, well, sports, but, you know, I mean, there's not a lot going on. It's one of the weirder weeks in the sports calendar where there isn't too much happening, and we actually have to talk to our loved ones. It's just the weirdest thing. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. We love to talk to our loved ones. We love
sometimes. As long as it's about sports.
Exactly. And we love to talk to you. Call up, join the conversation, 715-424-2600. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app, and thank you so much for doing that, everybody, for downloading it. Plenty to talk about today. We actually do. There really is no slowing down with the sports calendar, although Michael and I were joking about how we have this time in between Rafters and River Kings that we're just kind of, you know, we have a week or two before high school football kicks off. It's an interesting part of the calendar. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about today, and we'll start off with. Before we wrap up, we do have a stat of the show that is a wild one. We're going to talk about the Stanley Cup coming here to Wisconsin for a little bit. I want to get into that. The Badgers have named their starting quarterback. See if we have time for that one as well. And definitely want to talk about a couple of other things as far as the Brewers and baseball. And speaking of baseball, that's where we're going to start. I wanted to, for one, get into a quick question for the audience, and even for you, Michael. And we'll keep this question going throughout the whole hour. Who is the best right fielder of all time? Roberto Clemente's birthday would have been this Sunday, and in my house, man, that was the guy. There was just my from my papa to my dad to anybody, they would just rave about Clemente. There are times where my papa was in a bad mood, like his team lost or something like that, and as a kid, I would just bring up Roberto Clemente, just even say his name, and completely change his mood.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit biased. For 40 some years, I have been told this is the greatest right fielder of all time. I've seen highlights of him. I kind of have my vote already in. But there are some great names out there, and there's some great players that have, of course, played that position over the years. You've got some good ones out there. We can go all the way back to Mel Ott, Babe Ruth. Everybody remembers a couple of these guys, like the great Sam Crawford or Dixie Walker. No, we don't. Not many people remember those names. But
Ichiro, man, Ichiro.
It is kind of fun when you look up best right fielders of all time and some of the old school names you see. There was one. It was Dixie Walker. That I don't even have to tell you. Like, hey, this guy played sports. His name was Dixie Walker, baseball player. Like, you immediately, there's no way you think that's any other name than a baseball player right there. But we'll keep that conversation going. And keep in mind, with stuff like this, there are no wrong answers. That's one of the fun things about this. You can't be wrong. Yeah, there's a million names you could throw out there that are great ones. Where I'd like to start today and also get the conversation going with the audience, again, call up and join the conversation. Baseball, back in 2023, implemented the most extreme set of rule changes it's ever seen, with the pitch clock, they eliminated the shift, enlarging the bases, and placed a limit on pickoff throws, some of these things. Now, the limit on pickoff throws hasn't really come up too much.
No.
And the idea of them eliminating the shift was a huge story when it happened. Haven't heard anything about it since. It doesn't seem like it's been that big of a deal. You've certainly got people on both sides of the fence on this one when it comes to, have the rule changes been good or not? You can't argue with the fact that the games are shorter, and for somebody who loves the stolen base, I'm really happy to see that making an impact again. I think that's been pretty cool.
Well, the big thing, the reason why there's more stolen bases is Yadier Molina retired.
Yeah, that well done, man. You are on fire. Now they're talking about doing some other changes. The league has discussed a limit to the size of pitching staffs and double hook DH. We'll get into that in a moment. And according to sources familiar with the discussion, there is some belief around the game that the idea that the solution is requiring starting pitchers to go at least six innings every time they take the mound. ESPN spoke to a couple of executives about this, just pulling from the article on ESPN.com that you can catch if you'd like to read more in depth about this one. But I saw this, and the only time I've ever seen anything like this is in fantasy sports, And it usually involves goalies and things. You know, mm-hmm. you have to have a goalie, or you know, sometimes in a fantasy baseball league, you have to have your starting pitchers pitch 10 innings at least in a week, or yeah. something like that. Certainly, they can't be, you know, if a guy gets injured, they're not going to make him stay out there, although that'd be a little bit funny and a little entertaining, I imagine.
Rub some dirt on and get back in
get
there.
Get on out there, buddy. But I imagine that this is one of those things that I can't imagine many people out there are too gung-ho about this, are too crazed about this or anything. In part because, honestly, if they'd gone the other way with it, I think you'd get the same kind of pushback. I don't necessarily think that anybody wants Major League Baseball, the commissionership, and it's you know, powers that be and everything, telling managers and telling baseball teams, this is what you have to do. You have a starting pitcher out there, whether he's doing well or not, he's got to go six.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to say I get what they're trying to do. They are trying to, and this is from them, that they're trying to bring back the starting pitcher. They're trying to make that matter again. They are tired of starting pitchers spending more time on a surgery table than on the mound. And that's a concern of all baseball fans. I don't know if there's one baseball fan I've talked to this year that didn't come up at least a couple times.
Yeah. There's so many changes that have happened so quick, and so many that baseball fans, I know myself, I mean, I'm more a football fan than anything else, but I'm still trying to wrap my head around. I mean, first and foremost, I made it no secret, and I still make it no secret, universal DH is a load. DH is not real baseball. Mm. I'm sorry. I mean, at the professional level. I get it at high school. I get it at all these other ones. Getting exposure, getting the reps, I get it. That's totally fine. But if you're getting paid however many millions of dollars to throw a baseball, you better be able to swing a stick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I've always looked at it.
Yeah.
Now, getting back to the pitch counts and this and that, I mean, you're seeing some more arm injuries. I have to double check, but I was reading, believe it or not, an auto read earlier this past winter. I do a lot of reading in the winters, and they're saying, hey, there might be an uptick in the arm issues and more time players staying on the DL because you don't have that time to rest your arm. Mm-hmm. You don't have between pitches because you got to go boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Well, now you're saying you got to go six. Now, obviously, that's cruel and unusual punishment. If you get hurt and get back out there, put some icy hot out there and
be
get
pretty
going.
Funny though, that'd be pretty.
But there's something to be said about pitchers should be able to go that far. And now if the pitch count gets high in there, that it's good. We don't know if we can. Well, that's a good job on the hitting coach. I mean. Some of those arm problems are because
that's part of the
hitters.
Game.
Hitters can see the ball better, but they can anticipate better because analytics in baseball has gone through the roof, and everything is determined by that. You can go through it like that.
They won't let these guys even do their superstitions unless the analytics actually equal out. Like you can't do that when statistically jumping over the baseline doesn't actually help. You can't do that anymore. Like it's gotten way too far. It's gone too insane. Quick about the DH, I agree with you about it, especially when it comes to the complete player. I think growing up, especially in the 80s and early 90s and everything, the five-tool player, that was such a common thing, and so many of that is a big deal to me too. The only thing I like about the DH is the idea of the old school hitters being able to stay in the game a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And I just like that for the players, for fans, seeing some of these guys. I'm thinking of, I'm not even thinking of anybody current. I'm thinking of David Ortiz and guys like that.
Jim Thome.
Yeah, great. Another example there, right there. Well, I did like that, but that's as a fan, as far as the game goes and how much these pay these players and everything, couldn't agree with you more, man.
Right. And you know, with the shift as well, quick, not to cut you up, but with the shift, I never had a problem with the shift. Play the shift that way. You know what? Like I said, you're getting paid that much money. You should be able to hit the ball the other way. Now, I'm not a baseball player. I've never played baseball, and I know it's hard to do. Yeah, I mean, you got to get that timing. You're seeing, anticipating where the location is, what kind of pitch. You're trying to figure out the curve of the ball or the rotation of the ball, because that all plays into it. I know that. Unless it's a knuckleball, then your guess is as good as mine or anybody else.
Guessing. Yeah.
But
educated wish.
Yes. But how – hit it the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. It's, okay, you're going to play me that way. Okay, well, guess what? The ball's that way.
This isn't our stat of the show, but I can look up for you right now. The amount of times the shift worked on Tony Gwynn, zero.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. It did not work on Tony Gwynn, did not work on your average hitter even back then.
Right.
It only became a thing when it became a thing of, hey, if you strike out or hit a home run, we don't care. Just go up there and swing for the fences, everybody. And it's one thing when you're Giancarlo Stanton.
Yes.
And that's kind of what your game is and everything. But to see all hitters go that route, it reminds me, I remember, and I'm not a fan of the guy or anything like that, especially now in what we know, but even when he was young, I wasn't a big Alex Rodriguez guy, but I am a big 20-20, 30-30, 40 guy, 40-40 guy. For some reason, that still means something to me. And he was kind of one of the last guys who was kind of doing that. And as soon as they realized he was a home run hitter, you never saw him steal a base again.
Right.
Like, they just immediately moved. They just keep swinging for the fences, Alex. And that, to me, is when it started to begin, if it wasn't already there, where we are now in baseball. Where we're getting better, I think, with baseball. It's not where it was in previous years.
No.
We are seeing some more hitting this year. We are seeing the ball in play a little bit more. And, even to your point, I think that baseball is going to take it to their point and say, well, what we did worked and everything. The other objective is to not only prioritize starting pitching, but to leave a struggling starter in to reach the innings threshold while his ERA skyrockets and risk injury is another key factor of this. So some instances a starter would have to do in order to leave early would be, and then being done quicker than six innings. He throws 100 pitches, so if he does that by the fourth or fifth inning, he's out. He gives up four more earned runs.
Okay.
And, of course, if he gets injured. Outside of those expectations, pitchers would have a mandate to make it through at least six innings. That would force teams to rethink their starting pitching staffs, of course, and to meet new standards. Now, I do Seth Lugo said, I do that anyway. That was a great response. It was a great response by that. We all want to go at least six. Like, every starting pitcher that has ever picked up a baseball going back to Little League has wanted to go at least six innings. So I don't think this has ever been about the starters. I don't think this has ever been about the players.
Wow, right.
It's about what you hit on the head early on, analytics, and getting that out of baseball. If you want to really fix this, try to insert more of that, like the old school mentality of baseball. One of the best things to me about baseball was the feel. It's such a thinking game, and it's such a game inside the game, and there's so many little things about it that are interesting. But growing up, that was what I was always told. It's the thinking man's game. It's the thinking man's game. And
Tony La Russa was a big part of that. I mean, obviously, I speak as and I'm not even saying that as a Cardinals fan. I mean, with the A's when he was in Oakland, and even that little bit of time that he was in Chicago and got run out. There's a book that he wrote. I haven't read the book, believe it or not, but it's I think it's called like 3 days and 3 days in August or 3 days in September, whatever it was, and it's about a three-game stand with the Cubs, and basically he got two to four hours of sleep every night when he's thinking about potential matchups, spray charts, you look up, you name it, and that's what it was, and that was what kind of turned the season in favor of St. Louis that year. But there's just so much to it, like you said, the analytics. Okay, this matchup, this weather condition, to this feel, to this setup, to this order, to whatever. There's just so much to it.
I don't think you need the analytics. I think like there's already enough there. And I think that baseball was better when it was about feeling, when it was about going with the gut in those things.
Yes.
Oftentimes, that's what we know this in real life, even. Oftentimes, your gut is telling you what. Now, whether you listen to it or not is a whole different thing. But your gut, usually, your instincts are usually right. And to that point, to the injury point of things with this, real quick side note, I think it's quite funny. You and I have two very different versions of Tony La Russa in our head. We have very different experiences with Mr. La Russa, as you as a Cardinal fan and me as a White Sox fan. Very different sides of it. But you mentioned Christian Yelich, and Yelich is out for the season, of course. And I will mention, too, journalistically, Christian Yelich is a part of my family. He doesn't know it, but he is. He threw a baseball to my nephew. Nephew Mason, and immediately, like, we all love this guy. And what is not to like about him? He has handled himself so well, whether it's been slumps or injuries or whatever, he's handled it well. And the news comes out, and it's a bummer. Nobody likes it, especially him, of all people. But immediately I hear, you know, snake bitten, and is this is just going to be the way it is for his career or anything like that, and how often he gets injured. We've heard a very similar story a couple weeks ago when Mike Trout went out for the season and snake bitten, and he's just, you know, he's not going to be able to make it another full season. And this is the future. This is his future now. You can't expect him to go 100, let alone 162 anymore. Who can? Who?
It's tough to do.
I don't know. I don't know one player in Major League Baseball I feel confident saying that's going to give me 150. Not even 162, man. Like 150 games. I'm even taking. Okay, you don't want to play him against a lefty. Give him a day off on a Sunday. I'm including that. I don't know one player in Major League Baseball that I can say. Now, a couple years ago, I'd have said Max Scherzer. And that had been the end of the list for me. But I'd have said Max Scherzer. Even that's faded. Father Time is undefeated. I feel for the fans and the players that are getting hurt and the fans that are seeing these guys hurt. Mm-hmm. But the idea of flipping this and kind of deciding already that these guys' future, it always was. What they're doing, I don't care if it's baseball, football, or what sport it is. Get used to this, everybody. Guys, there's nobody. The days of, you want to know one of the two most unbreakable records in sports, in my opinion. The Cal Ripken and Brett Favre streaks.
Yes, I agree.
Not only will they never be broken, I don't think anybody will ever even get 100 games within either of the, or 1,000 games within Cal Ripken's record, let alone Brett Favre's. I'll go 200 if you want. I'll say nobody will ever even get close to 200 games to him. I don't think that's happening. Those days are done. I don't care if we're talking about tiddlywinks. Guys are going to get hurt. Players are going to get injured. They are bigger, stronger, faster than ever. They are pushing their bodies and their minds more than they ever have. The games are safer. The games, they're adjusting rules here and there. All those factors, everything being said, I stand by that statement. I don't believe that you're going to not only see those records broken for sure, but I don't think by the end of this season, when we're crowning the new Super Bowl champion, not one of those players is going to have played every single game. It's almost impossible to ask. So now it's more about how often they get injured. And are the injuries consistent to a certain part of the body or something?
Right.
But I've completely gotten, I realized reading the Yelich news and the Trout news, I've become numb to this. I've just become, okay, well, this is just the new normal. Guys get hurt all the time, and it doesn't matter who it is, whether it is Christian Yelich or it is any other player in the league.
You know, I'll throw one name out there that might. Now, granted, he's only playing half of his game, Ohtani.
I mean,
when he's healthy again, that he can pitch and he can play out in the field, he might be one that does that.
He's hurt right now when he's playing.
Yep, so, and he's he's not.
That's
him,
a fair point.
But
that's
he's a very good ball player either way. You know, Yelich, it makes you wonder how much he's the new age Ryan Braun, minus the steroid use. And I mean, say what you want about Braun, he got caught. I'm sorry, he got caught. That's just the way it was.
Can't get past
but he started. He started getting those nagging injuries. He'd be missing a few games. And unfortunately, for Yelich, the back injuries, those are scary injuries. So you don't know what you're going to get. That surgery, you know, may he rest up and maybe he be able to go again next year. I mean, the game's better with him. I'll definitely say that.
Well, and especially this year where he was finally having that year that he was been looking to have for a while.
He
and
was
everything.
Bouncing back to his younger days because he's getting along in the tooth.
Yep, 32. I had to look it up. I wasn't sure, and I was like, wow, 32. Aaron Civil on the mound for the Brewers tonight at home. They'll be playing, of course, against the Guardians, Cleveland. Gavin Williams on the mound for them. Should be a good one. You got two of the best teams in baseball going at it. That should be a good one. We'll be keeping an eye on that as the game goes on throughout the day here. I did have something else I wanted to go to before we went to break. Michael, this is a topic that we brought up a couple times on the air, but you and I haven't gotten to talk about.
Yeah.
And with your connection to high school sports and how much you are invested and engaged in it, how much time you spent in it over the, you know, what, almost the last 10 years or so, man.
Oh, it's probably closer to 20. 2006, fall 2006, when I kind of got started in it.
So this is an idea that I pitched past Randy a while back, and I brought up to the audience before, and I just wanted to bring back because I not only think it's a good one, but as we're getting ready to play a new high school season, I thought it would be good to bring up again. A town in New Jersey has implemented several umpires, a bunch of umpires walk off after being harassed by parents, and they came up with a punishment. And this is late last year. If you're caught berating an umpire during a game, you'll be banned from the complex unless you agree to suit up as an umpire yourself for 3 games. The idea is, if you're such a know-it-all, grab some gear and all that. Yes. But it's also something that I've heard from since I was a little kid playing, I mean, football at East, let alone anywhere else and everything. I mean, even in other sports, I remember this happening. We're always looking for umpires. We're always looking for, refs. Yeah. Yeah. Always looking for people in high school sports to be able to do this and cover these games for us. It's an insane thought to think that you can have every piece, all the players there, announcers there, everybody's ready to go. We got no refs. We can't play the game. Like, without these refs, without these great volunteers in our communities, in our states, we don't have high school athletics.
Yep.
So it's something that we all need to keep an eye on, and something that has only gotten worse over the years.
Yes, it has.
And how do you counter that? How do you fix something like that? I don't know that this is the solution, but I love the idea of okay, now you're going to do it. Now you get out there and see what it's like. Put on the stripes and see how you do with it.
I think it's a step in the right direction, honestly. Don't knock it till you try it. You know, and I know that's used in maybe different ways, that expression, but I've seen more and more parents get told, hey, out. Yeah. Get going. And I've seen a couple more coaches do that nowadays, too. Mm. There was a game that I believe Randy and I were at this past winter, Wausau East girls basketball. Right at the end of the game, coach got tossed, but don't know much more than that. But she got the hook right at the final horn. So I'm something has to be done, and people got to realize there are. And I'm guilty of this too, because sometimes I'll open my mouth when I shouldn't. I'll fully own up to that.
Oh yeah, same here.
But this is something that there are consequences for opening your mouth. And if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. And that's another thing I got to get better at sometimes, you know, when I'm talking to my Bear fan friends
and this and that.
But there are consequences for your choices. There are consequences for your words. And I do agree. I'm a full believer in the First Amendment. And it comes back to one of my favorite expressions from a movie. So preoccupied with whether or not you didn't stop to think of whether or not you should, from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, well, I can say this. Yeah, but should you?
Yeah, that's not only something that you and I and others out there deal with, because I'm in the same boat as you, man, but it is something that people online really just don't
keyboard
seem to
warriors.
Understand. Yeah, just you have these keyboard cowards out there that never, like Herm Edwards, back in the day, years and way before everybody had a cell phone and everything, when this stuff was just starting up, he hit it on the head. He had the sentence that was perfect for all of this. Think before you hit send.
Yep.
Just think a second. Hey, does everybody need my thoughts on this? Boy,
yes.
I wonder how much the world really needs to know me. I better tweet this because, boy, everybody has to hear this. No, they don't. No. Your roommates don't even want to hear it, man. Your parents that you're living at their house, they don't even want to hear it. Like, just keep it to yourself. Maybe just keep it to yourself.
And, you know, there's been a few times where I've had individuals, you get into a discussion about sports or this or that, and it's like, I guarantee you would not be telling me to my face what you just said, not expect to catch something.
Right.
Exactly. And I don't believe in violence, but when you cross a line, sometimes there's only one thing you can do about it.
They invented the punch for a reason.
Yep. Rocky Balboa, that's why. Come on.
We will take a quick time out. But it's okay. We got a couple more to burn. It's all right. We can handle it. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun here on Playmakers. Michael and James taking you through the afternoon. A big shout out to our friends at Quality Post Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Summer is here and the sun is unforgiving. Be your child's hero this summer by keeping them safe in the summer heat and don't miss a beat. Wham Incorporated is here to help. Summer is for family trips, team championships, and long days at the beach. Design your child or team's gear in a flash with fully customizable polyester shirts and shorts. Call 715-423-9465 for Wham Incorporated today and get back out into the summer sun and enjoy the adventure without the burn.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an Earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress? Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the Earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right, the environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead, ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad-bodded dad to eat more plants. For the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right? Find your out and opt in to cutting carbon. Just visit theenvironmentexcuse.org. A public service announcement brought to you by WildAid.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Some researchers have explored the impact of melatonin-enriched milk on sleep because it comes from cows milked at night.
Ooh.
Night milk has been shown to improve symptoms of insomnia in some people.
Night milk. Yeah. We should try some night milk.
Night milk. Yeah.
I would love to actually talk to somebody who actually does this. If this is like a new avenue for milk growers.
How about milk producers,
I should say.
Yep.
Milk doesn't grow on trees. I learned that when I was 20.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
It's the Democratic National Convention, everybody, and I could not be more excited. It kicks off with President Joe Biden, and I'll be joined by County Executive David Crowley.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, few showers around tonight, and a low in the mid-60s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, maybe a pop-up shower and highs in the mid-70s. Mostly sunny with a high in the low 80s Sunday. A couple of nice days Monday and Tuesday, mostly sunny and highs near 80. Currently at 75 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Michael and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We send a big shout-out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Thanks for sponsoring the hour. Phil and the gang, we appreciate you. I'm going to talk a little football now, and we'll get to some high school sports in a moment, or before we wrap up, Michael. But I did want to get to our stat of the show. We like to throw these out there every once in a while and have some fun ones. And I was looking into, you know, we've been doing baseball a lot in baseball season, yep. Of course. Getting ready for pigskin season and football season as it is. I wanted to look up some football ones here, and I came across one I hadn't heard since I was a kid. I was a little kid when I heard this one the first time. And we go to Sammy Baugh, who had 4 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions in a game back in the day against the Detroit Lions on November 14th in 1943. Now, we've had plenty of quarterbacks throw touchdowns and interceptions in games,
yeah.
But we have not had a guy do this. The Redskins star led his team to a 42-20 win on a chilly day in Washington by not only throwing 4 touchdown passes, but picking off 4 interceptions
in the game.
That's
the key right there.
Yeah. Didn't throw any picks, caught 4 picks, and also threw 4 touchdowns. But you talk about stuff that ain't ever going to happen again. I can't imagine that one.
Well, I mean, as far as I know, from your neck of the woods, the inner city Chicago, there hasn't been anyone to score 4 touchdowns in a single game since Al Bundy.
The great, the legend Al Bundy, yes. Why they have not built a statue for Ed, I don't know.
Polk High, yes.
God, great reference, reference. I just came across that. I thought that was wild. I knew I'd heard it, but I guess I forgot it for 20-some years and hadn't even thought about it since. And everything. The way that they used to play that game is it.
Oh, man.
You watch the early days of football to now.
Ooh.
I don't know if there's a sport that's changed more. Maybe basketball a little
hockey.
Bit, but yeah.
Hockey. with the goalie equipment especially. But, I mean, this could be a topic that we can go back and forth on here for this could almost be a weekly argument really here, could. But. Ray Nitschke to Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
I obviously Packer, Bear. Mm-hmm. I personally think Nitschke was a better linebacker, but they're both, without them, you do not get Lawrence Taylor. You do not get some of those other linebackers that have come through, Bill Romanowski, steroids or not, but you don't get some of these other talented linebackers without them.
it's amazing to think not only that we had a time where we had those two guys, the Nitschke, the Butkus, these guys, the way they played the game, the ferociousness of it, all of that in play. And at the same time, before all of that, these guys were playing together on the same defense at the University of Illinois.
Yep.
Like, that is insane. And how did they not win like multiple national championships just with those two? I don't care what else is on the field. I don't care if you had somebody like me, a quarterback. How do you not win multiple championships with those two on defense? I know it's a big game. I know there's a lot of players, but
two reasons. I think one would be known as Notre Dame, because I think they were pretty good in that time. Yeah. And then the other one was Bud Wilkinson's Oklahoma Sooners at that time.
Right.
Because they won however many in a row that Notre Dame actually ended the streak, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Because that's because you're talking 40s, which maybe was just a hair right before Nitschke and Butkus were in college, but they were, it wasn't far.
It's really cool to watch the highlights of those guys. As long as we're on college football, Tyler Van Dyke has been named Wisconsin's starting quarterback just this week. The Miami transfer was competing with Braden Locke, who started three games last season for the injured Tanner Mordecai. Did a nice job. By the coaching staff's words, they have two starting quarterbacks. They just made a decision on one over the other.
Yes.
But it does look like this isn't something that, like, all right, Tyler has the job and we can close the book on that. It doesn't look like that at all.
You're going to kick me off the air for this one, but so you're telling me he wasn't a lock?
Yes. No, it was great. I love that. I'm a father. I love those jokes.
I believe my girlfriend just tuned out right at that point in time. So, no.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
Yeah,
to me.
It was.
I really do like what Wisconsin has going for them, because in part I'm still a believer in Luke Fickell. I think that guy knows what he's doing. And after one season, it's too early to tell anything after one season, positive or negative, for any athlete at all or coach. But especially if he's picking these guys, and this is the guy, this is a guy I think can run my offense, can really make the most of it and everything. And not for nothing, there isn't a clear back that we have. Now, it's Wisconsin. They're going to have a good running back. They're going to have a good couple of running backs. You hope. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they better.
It looks like they've got guys on the roster. We just haven't had anybody prove it yet. Chaz has had a nice career.
Yeah. Malusi,
But him staying healthy is another one of those things. They've got a bunch of young freshmen in there that look like they could be thoroughbreds. We'll see what happens with that. Having Tyler Van Dyke in there over Braden Locke, I think, is a positive also because of the experience of a Tyler Van Dyke.
That might be the key.
You look at him right now, and he looks like he's in his 30s almost. Like, he's been playing this game for a while and everything, even though he's a young man. And I think that part of it, his accuracy with the deep ball comes out a little bit more.
Yeah.
He's a little more sure of himself. And really, the only reason he's not still at Miami is because he couldn't read a cover two. He had a hard time reading defenses. You can coach that stuff.
Yes.
With a lot of players, not all players, but with a lot of players. And every coach is like every player. I heard somebody this morning talking about, boy, why doesn't Christian Yelich just put up the cleats? I mean, why does he keep playing? Why does he keep doing this to himself? What do you think got him there? Do you think they just turned that off? Do you think these athletes are able? Why do you think, like, for every Jim Brown that retires on the set of The Dirty Dozen, there is a Willie Mays in a Mets uniform swinging and spinning?
Well, Rocky Balboa. I mean, I know that's fictional, but I still think in one of these movies he could come back and fight Apollo Creed's son, for crying out loud.
The shape that Stallone's in, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right?
I wouldn't be surprised. As far as the athlete hanging on too long or any of that stuff, I feel like that's such a silly conversation, because if you're paying attention at all to sports, at least, for your somebody who isn't, then that's completely different. But if you're paying attention to sports, if you've heard any athlete ever speak in an interview, you would understand, well, this guy thinks he's the best receiver in football, but he's not even in the top 10. What is he talking about? Well, that's the mentality.
What do you accomplish by not thinking you are the best?
Yeah. Every one of these guys, from the moment they picked up a ball or bat or whatever they're doing, not only have they been told they're great, they've been telling themselves this, and there's no off switch for that.
With this being partially a country station, isn't there a country song about this? That throw it, the ball went up, went around. Well, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. Well, by the end of the song, huh, I guess I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. Okay. I mean, there's something to that. There really is.
So it's the same mentality for coaches. And if you're a coach, you're Luke Fickell, you're anybody, okay, Tyler Van Dyke, those issues he has, I can fix those. I can change him. You're that poor woman out there that thinks you can change a man. Because I don't know that that's possible.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa, certainly. It's one of those kind of situations. I think that if you're Coach Fickell, not only do you have the guy that you want here in Van Dyke and Locke for that matter, but you got to feel pretty good going into the season with two quarterbacks. That's something that not a lot of teams have, and it's something that more teams are going to have going forward. You and I were talking in our pregame a little bit about Minnesota and how, as a Packer fan, as a Bear fan, we're in a weird spot where we actually feel a little bad for them. The Minnesota Vikings, that is.
Yeah, you have that cornerback draft pick who tragically lost his life.
Yeah.
And then you have Kirk Cousins leaving. Mm. Okay. J.J. McCarthy comes in, and torn meniscus leads to, I know how bad a meniscus can hurt. That's one of my knee problems. But now he's done for the year. They found something. I haven't really said what, but I think it might be something ACL related personally. But then you have Addison. He got carted out the other day.
Yeah.
And you have another defensive back that, okay. And I mean, you know, at that point, you know, I did make the poor joke that when I heard the J.J. McCarthy went down, I was like, oh, darn, old. Sam Darnold. I mean, he's going to be able to throw the ball around, but is he going to be?
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Jones is sitting there thinking, oh, boy, man. And then Justin Jefferson's thinking, well, who's going to throw me the stinking ball?
Yeah.
He's
already been unhappy as it is.
Well, so. I don't know anyone who's really happy wearing purple. I mean, look at Stephon Diggs. Look at Herschel Walker. He got there late in his career, and he didn't like it there. And Randy Moss.
I will say that I think that the thing that stands out to me about the McCarthy thing is the same thing that stands out when it comes to any of these quarterbacks in the NFL right now that are in the starting spot on that roster. The idea, one of the craziest things in sports to me, how much time, how much effort, how crazy these coaches are, how much money is put into this game, all of this being said, and one injury, your whole season's done.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
any NFL team right now that you point to with their starting quarterback, if they are out for multiple weeks or the whole season, their season is looked at as done. That's insane to me.
Yeah.
That all of this, all these things we do, everything that could being said, and that's the case. You could get to week 17 feeling like you're a Super Bowl team, one injury, you're done. It's just insane to me. Like, and if you're a Minnesota Viking fan right now, you're looking at this like, okay, well, it's a rebuild year again. Like, you had hopes, you had expectations.
Yep.
It's no different than as a Packer or Bear fan if Love or Williams go down. Well, any hopes we had this season, nuts. Well,
we've seen that go on with Aaron Rodgers when he went down. Now I will say this much, though. When that happened, though, I think in 2013 when that happened, that was one of the first daggers that Cobb delivered to the Bears. Those quarterbacks that filled in for Aaron, and there was two of them. One of them was a Wisconsin grad. I'm drawing a blank. But
I always want to say Jim Sorgi, but it wasn't. Jim
no,
Sorge,
it was
but
not.
But I always want to
Stave,
say that.
It was Stave.
Okay.
No, it wasn't.
No. But I know you're talking.
But either
about,
either way, yeah. He went through. They did an adequate job keeping the Packers right about 500. Great job. Good job, guys. And then that came to the very last game of the season on the 4th and 8. Chris Conte couldn't cover a pillow. And there goes Randall Cobb, caught the ball, touchdown. Bears lose, and Green Bay goes to the playoffs. You know, if you have someone who's just adequate at quarterback, you can maybe stay in the mix. But you lose that upper echelon passer, it's not looking good.
It's so, and there's so much money put into these quarterbacks.
Oh gosh,
that
yes.
You almost can't be like, well, the solution is to have a great starting backup quarterback. Yeah, but you can't afford that.
No.
You can't tie all that money into that position. It brings me back actually to something that we brought up a couple weeks back that I think is an interesting one that you and I hadn't gotten a chance to talk about. They've been floating around a couple of things in the NFL similar to what we were talking about with MLB. It's the tease. It's the idea. Movie companies have been doing this forever. They have something quote unquote leak. Everybody saw the Deadpool Wolverine footage. What'd you guys think of that, by the way? Oh, you didn't like that? Okay. Oh, we were never going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
That was just that was leaked footage. We didn't. Oh, you like that? Okay, we're keeping that in. It's that kind of thing. The NFL's doing that a little bit with the 18-game season, of course, 18-week season they're talking about. And they're talking about the idea of a QB cap. A cap specifically for quarterbacks would be the normal cap you have for all players, and then a separate cap for quarterbacks.
Ooh, that, I don't know how that players' union would like that. Because, I mean, not getting into a pro or con union thing, that's not my point. Mm-hmm. I understand that your quarterback and your wide receiver and running back, okay, yeah, they're going to make more than your average offensive lineman. I get that. But why should they be capped?
Why
them and not your Justin Jeffersons, mm-hmm. your Tyreek Hills, your maybe Romeo Doubs, if you can throw that in there? Mm-hmm. Why? It just doesn't make any sense to me. So I think that's going to be something that to your point, like you're alluding to, when they start going to the 18 game, because it's going to happen, they're going to have two preseason games, and then they're talking the 9 home, 9 mm-hmm. away, and then 2 bye weeks somewhere in there, because that's about the only way you can do it, because that's getting to be a nasty season.
Oh yeah.
And especially with how big and fast and strong everyone is now compared to even human evolution.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that too, that some people, it's not going to be too long until you see someone just fall over, unfortunately pass away on that football field because they're just too big, their body can't keep up with it.
We've already seen parts of it, and we've seen quite close. We've gotten pretty close to the edge of that, so I don't think you're far. That's a stretch at all. It is interesting to think about the idea of this and how they figured this out as far as, because I don't think the NFL and MLB are in that different of a position of starting pitchers and quarterbacks them upright and trying to keep them, because these are the stars, oftentimes the stars of the league and where they go with that. I agree with you though about the cap. I started on one end of this. I have grown to the other side of it. At first, oh cool, sounds like a good idea. You do a little digging and you start thinking about it a little bit more, and the strategy that goes into building a team, it feels like cheating almost. Yeah, it feels kind of like, well, wait a minute, you can't do that.
And you know those egos in there, big egos. Yeah. And once you start getting a little bit of resentment, just a little bit of resentment, then you've got trouble. And that could be the resentment starter for some teams.
Regardless of what they do with that cap situation, we can always count on the fact that Jerry Jones will mess it up. Whatever they do, Jerry Jones will find a way to mess it up.
Someone's got to, because Al Davis is gone.
It's a good point.
Well, Virginia McCaskey, though, she's still around, but she doesn't have much to do with that.
Now, hold up, sir. Now, there is no... I will take all the shots on the Bears you want, but there is no discounting Miss Virginia McCaskey. She is the only smart person in that family. She's still a Hallis in my book.
Okay. All right.
You're probably right about
that. Well, I mean, I would just go back to the controversial reasons of why she didn't want Patrick Mahomes.
True. Right. Yeah. There's some stuff there. Well, that whole organization has made a mistake. The fact that they have won the championships they did, and then when the NFL merger happened, they've won even one since then, is out of the spite of their own selves sometimes.
Yeah, Green Bay had it too in the 70s and 80s too. I mean, you could have had Brett Favre handing off to Barry Sanders for, I mean, they still could be playing together, but they go and draft Tony Manwich.
I actually did this myself ages ago. I want to say like good 10 years ago or something. I went, because I'm a draft nut. I love the NFL draft. I'm a sucker for it. I watch every pick. I'm all glued in. One of the things I looked up was, does every NFL team have a first round bust? Yeah, everybody does. Everybody's got at least one or two. And I don't mean bust as in the guy that they drafted didn't work out. I mean the guy that they missed out on.
Green Bay with Barry Sanders right there.
You've got a Derek Thomas missed one pick ahead of a guy that didn't amount to nothing, some of those things. Almost everybody passed up on Patrick Mahomes. There's a couple of guys like
Aaron
that.
Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, my God, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, that's another great example of a guy that was just sitting there in the green room just waiting. So everybody's got that, but I will say that it's one of those things that is never going to be lost on no matter what happens at the quarterback position in Chicago. They'll never let that go.
Never.
And they won't let go of the Barry Sanders, Tony Mandrich thing either.
No.
You know, that there's certain things, and I don't think we should. We shouldn't let our teams be off the hook on this.
Right. I mean there's something to be about. Something to be said about being capped in hindsight there.
Yeah,
that doesn't do anything good for you.
No.
But there's always, well, hey, remember that one time that, I mean, I get reminded of that. Hey, I get a great idea, and I'd be talking to my mom. My mom and I are very close, and that's one thing I try to talk about on the game broadcast is kind of some personal. Personable. And again, any listeners, if you ever want to see, if you ever see me out, always say hi. I always say that. And I hope you do. But the one thing I will say is have an idea about some of my farming or how I want to approach a hunt or something like that and talk to my mom about it. She's done both. And then she'll remind me of, well, that's a good idea. But do you remember when you tried something similar to that before? Yeah, you're right.
I've been fortunate in my creative career to come up with some pretty good things. One of the things that I was able to do here in radio and was supported well and by the audience and everything, locally grown radio. That's a line that I came up with.
I love it.
I like it. Fits our station. Listeners like it and everything. I'm also the guy that thought that Ryan Leaf was going to be good. I would have bet money on it.
Yeah.
I'd have put $20 on it right away. Oh, sure, Ryan Leaf's going to be a great quarterback.
Yeah.
I thought he was good at Washington State. I thought he was good.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was good at Washington State, but
got that one.
Johnny Manziel too.
Yeah, you're right. There's another one. We'll take our final timeout. It's okay. We can make it to the end of the game without him. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun. It's Michael and James taking you through your afternoon here at Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids.
Summer is here and the sun is unforgiving. Be your child's hero this summer by keeping them safe in the summer heat and don't miss a beat. Wham Incorporated is here to help. Summer is for family trips, team championships, and long days at the beach. Design your child or team's gear in a flash with fully customizable polyester shirts and shorts. Call 715-423-9465 for Wham Incorporated today and get back out into the summer sun and enjoy the adventure without the burn.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he's known on TikTok as Mr. Global. Matt Randolph, an oil and gas expert, joins us to talk about the myths of prices. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, few showers around tonight and a low in the mid-60s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, maybe a pop-up shower and highs in the mid-70s. Mostly sunny with a high in the low 80s Sunday. A couple of nice days Monday and Tuesday, mostly sunny and highs near 80. It's 69 degrees right now.
Afternoon, Wisconsin. We're rounding third. We are heading home. We are getting right up to the top of the hour with the final moments of the show. Michael and James here on Playmakers. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing sponsoring the hour. We got a little time left. You want to call up and join the conversation, feel free. 715-424-2600. You guys hear me all day. Call up and join us. We'd like to hear from you. Your sports thoughts, your sports feelings. Would love to know what people think about that six-inning limit that they're talking about in baseball. How you feel about the Brewers season going so far. And I'd certainly like to hear how people are feeling about the high school football season kicking off. Our first game is coming up on the 22nd. We've got
River Falls in a town here to take on our Lincoln Red Raiders, my alum. I'm very excited about that game. Michael, I'm curious to you, what is the game that stands out that first week of the high school football season?
You know, there's one game that isn't going to happen that kind of stands out, and that's one of the perennial powers, Kimberly. They can't find a week one game. Over in the Fox Valley. I mean,
I heard that like about a month or so ago. They still haven't. I didn't know that.
So it came official the other day from Wiss Sports, Travis Wilson. Okay. I'll cite my source they never found one.
Wow.
But that's the thing, is it's tough. Some teams just really don't want to make that 3-hour drive and get their brains beat in. No disrespect to who would or wouldn't be doing that, but Kimberly's got. There's no way around it. They're good. As far as the three local teams, for you know, every single one of those games has something interesting to me. Wisconsin Rapids. Last year, they returned just about everybody on defense. Okay, cool. You got everybody on defense. Had to figure out their offense. Well, by the end of the year, they're playing complementary football, and they've won their last two games. Well, this year, they're brand new defense. They're going to a 5-2 look, a 5-2 or a 4-3 look. And their offense is going to be what's going to have to carry them. Hopefully, they can get a stop or two. Assumption, they've got about 18 to 20 kids out. They don't return the quarterback and one of their main receivers and halfbacks. So it's going to be interesting to see how they can respond to those low numbers and having to replace those key positions. And then Nakusa, looking at them, 40 kids out, and they're going up. There's so many times they were within one score or even a point going into the fourth quarter, and they just didn't have that extra punch to hold on or come back. Now, how much does that – I mean, they've gotten a taste of being what it is to be right there, and they've got a new defense as well because the defensive coordinator from Wisconsin Rapids, John Russell, he's down in Nakusa now.
Mm-hmm.
So changes, you know, that happens. So it's going to be neat seeing kind of a Wisconsin Rapids defense on Nakusa's team now.
Yeah.
It's all thrown me back into some loops there, but –
catching everybody up on that first week of the high school football season. So again, you've got River Falls in Wisconsin Rapids take on the Red Raiders Thursday, 7:00. That Friday, you'll have Assumption traveling to Marcusson.
Marcusson
to take on the Hornets, 7:00 game there. Nakusa traveling on to take Poinette, the Pumas at 7:00 on that game. And then that'll be the wrap of the first week, at least, or local teams, as you mentioned there.
Yep.
So that being said, too, it's all the factors you just said, along with the travel time and some of that.
Yes.
That's going to be interesting for that part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a 2-hour drive down to Poinette from here, just about. And then River Falls, that's at least 3 hours coming here. I mean, it's almost just right outside the Twin Cities.
I'm also curious about what's going to happen with the Wausau teams and the change there with some of that. I think that stands out a little bit, too, and is going to be interesting. Because I don't know how that works necessarily. Because they just have the one Wausau now, right?
No, there's West and East and there's Everest still. And Newman Catholic. And
what am I thinking of then? Am I thinking of Marshfield here with that?
No, they were going to.
They were going to,
okay. And they stopped that buck cold right there this spring.
That's what happened.
And it's still something that they're talking about. Wausau East, they're in the Great Northern Conference now. They got tired of, you know, I use the expression a lot, getting their brains beat in all the time.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. I mean, Wausau East, they, back when I was in school 20 years ago, they were a middle-of-the-road top end of the Valley Conference. And, I mean, they had great talent go through their Zalewski and Crooks. They were two linebackers there that played for the Badgers. So, I mean, they're talented. They've had talent. They've had very good teams. But they fit better in the Great Northern Conference now. So now it's Everest and West and Point, Marshfield, Rapids, and then the two Eau Claire schools in the Wisconsin Valley. That'd be North and Memorial. They're coming in. So, I mean, it's going to be a new look this year.
He's getting raring to go. He's all excited. He's ready. This is just a preview of what is to come this high school football season. We're just less than a week away from this, or a week away. Some of this. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, and you know, there's more sports coming. I mean, the starting Monday, I think cross country starts practice.
Yeah.
Assumption girls, they might win it all in D3. Girls tennis. Assumptions, they're finally in a conference now. Rapids girls tennis, they're looking to get their first conference title since I was was in high school. So, I mean, they return almost everybody.
We're going to be touching base with our friend Phil Hartley throughout the season, the tennis season. Phil's, of course, over there with the tennis team, and I want to get him on the air here a little bit talking some tennis. I love tennis, so I'm looking forward to talking about that. That's going to be cool. Before we wrap up, I did want to touch on this. Long before he built the Florida Panthers Stanley Cup Championship, shout out to the Panthers for this. That's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
Bill Zito was a teenager working at Milwaukee Brewers Clubhouse as an attendant during the franchise's lone pennant-winning season. The Panthers general manager and president of hockey operations returned to his roots and allowed the Brewers to get a glimpse of one of the most prestigious prizes in professional sports, I think the hardest championship to win in all of sports, the Stanley Cup. Visited Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool of him. He did a lot of this also to raise attention and awareness to the cancer fund that he works over in that area, still in the Milwaukee area. Zito still very, very present in that area and in the state, really. Does a lot of good in the state. And I just thought that was pretty cool that the Stanley Cup was here in Wisconsin for a little while.
If only it could have been with Joe Pavelski.
Oh, gosh.
Babe, the Caulfield boys, they got a chance.
They do.
And I remember reporting on them when they were in high school. So those are just add them onto my list of athletes who are now playing the big game now that I got to see in their youth.
Shout out to Pavelski, man. I'm going to miss him next season.
Me too.
And best right fielders of all time. I am a little disappointed in you, Wisconsinites. No Hank Aaron? Nobody calls up and throws Hank Aaron in my face? I mean, he blows away Roberto Clemente in every element except for maybe the arm. Yep. Maybe the arm is a little bit different, but almost every category, I was setting you up, everybody. I was waiting for you to call up.
I was waiting for
it,
too.
Trash me and destroy me here. Nobody did. I was a little surprised.
I got two. I got two for my Cardinals. Okay. Enos Slaughter.
Ooh.
And then the other one, he passed away tragically in an off-season car accident. He was being heralded as the next up-and-coming right fielder, Oscar Tavares.
Yeah, man, I forgot about. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that season and a half or half a season that he came up and made the bigs, people were sitting there saying, this is it. And then lost his life. Yeah.
Dave Winfield, Reggie Jackson, Babe Ruth, Tony Gwynn, tons of great right fielders.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with more Playmakers. Have a good weekend, everybody. Michael, great show. Thank you.
Thank